sorry to disappoint you that I'm up here now, because that was really good. And I actually felt bad. I felt bad about coming up, because I thought, this probably won't be nearly as good as that. Nearly as enjoyable. That was excellent. Very well done. For those of you who don't know me, and I'm assuming many of you don't because I don't know you, my name is Stephen Meyer. I'm one of the youth leaders here at the church, but I also moonlight and do messages to adults as well, although there are a lot of young people here, which is great to see. The message tonight is Knowing God. That kind of sums it up. Nothing more complicated than that. If you look, you got a little insert or handout or program type thing that we gave out. There's a couple verses on the one side, some of which I will be using, one of which I will not, because I changed my mind. This is my prerogative. I can do that. On the other side is a little write-up. This is an excerpt of a devotional. This is getting in my mouth. A devotional that I wrote, that I just finished, that is not yet published, but hopefully will be. And it was an exercise, actually, when I knew that I was going to speak this month, and God impressed upon me the theme of knowing Him. And He communicated to me, why don't you spend 30 days getting to know Me? Kind of like that song, Getting to Know You. I'm not nearly as good a singer. From The King and I. That was going through my head at the time. He said, spend 30 days getting to know Me. Every day have a conversation with Me, and we'll talk about one of My characteristics, one of My attributes, something about Me. And so every day I did that, and I wrote down just one page about what He was saying, what He was speaking to me, thoughts I had on that. And so as I'm writing that, I'm thinking, wow, this would probably make a pretty good book too. So I included that in there, just one excerpt. That's from the second day of my little journey through studying. If you would be interested in obtaining this, if and when I publish it, I included contact information there for you. You could get something in advance as soon as I can have it ready. But I think it turned out very well. It's easy to read, and hopefully it would. You could use it in the same way I did, in ways to get to know God better, and it would spark you to want to know Him better. Now, as I was getting started on this lesson, I realized that I had two lessons in one. There are two types of knowledge. There's knowledge of people, and then there's knowledge of facts and things like that. Tonight, we're going to be working on knowledge of people, relationships, connecting with someone else. In this case, connecting with God. That's what the 30-day journey was getting to know someone, getting to know God better. One of the verses in your little list was 1 Corinthians 2:2. I'm not going to use that. That's more of a factual thing. I at first thought I was going to use it because I really liked that verse. But the verses you like aren't always the ones that you end up using. So that's more of a knowledge of facts, not a knowledge of people. And I can thank my good friend Bob, who's going to now join me up here for an exercise. He gave me some word studies because he has all these awesome resources, and it helped me figure out what verses I want to use and what verses I don't. But we're going to do a little exercise about knowing someone, this someone. This is Bob. How many of you know Bob? Feel free to raise your hand. All right. How many of you don't know Bob? Good. This will work perfectly for the example. Would you consider yourself strangers? You don't know Bob at all? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Bob. Bob is tall. What else do you strangers know about Bob? Shout it out. He has glasses. He has a prominent beard. A very manly beard that I could never grow. And he has some sort of optical deficiency, hence the need for glasses. I hope he has a sense of humor. I'm in a lot of trouble. Okay, so we know a little bit about Bob. Even strangers know something about you now. We know your name. He has a last name, too. but it's too hard to pronounce in our language. No, his last name is Pazahofsky, which is hard to pronounce in our language. Now, who knows Bob a little bit more than a stranger level? Who would say that they're at least an acquaintance with Bob? Okay? What makes you more than a stranger? What do you know about Bob more than just his appearance? Anybody who knows him want to say something? He loves Jesus and milkshakes. Not necessarily. No, just kidding. What else? He went to Grove City College. He's a big, that's not true. He's a big nerd. He's artistic. Okay, so these are some more details that the strangers wouldn't know, but people who know you better. And when you know personal details about somebody, you cross over from being a stranger to at least an acquaintance, someone who is acquainted with who this person is. Now, we can go a step further to know private details. And this is where we get into family members and friends. Now, there is a big difference between an acquaintance and a friend. Facebook has led us to believe that anybody you remember is a friend. That is not true. They are not all your friends. I would say, in fact, very few of the people who I'm Facebook friends with are my friends. Now, a friend knows more personal, private details. Okay? They're a lot closer. Now, we won't reveal private details about Bob. But I consider him a friend. There are some things that I know about him that maybe other people don't. Not bad things, but there are some things that I know about him, or maybe just a few people would know, that crossed over from acquaintance to friend. But there is one level of knowledge that none of us in this room, because I don't think Christina's here, is she? She's in the nursery. And you can sit down now, Bob. Yeah, she might be over here. There's one level of knowledge, though, that surpasses all that other knowledge, and that's the knowledge that his spouse has of him. Christina is in the nursery, but Christina knows way more about Bob than any of us will ever want to know or ever will know because of the relationship that they have. And our knowledge of others is therefore measured on a scale from stranger to acquaintance to friend to spouse to someone who's intimate, close with us. And our knowledge of God is actually measured pretty much on that same scale. And that's what we're going to work through. And you'll see how it builds. We'll start with the strangers. There are strangers who do not know God. Now, according to the Bible, everybody has some knowledge of God. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would be so kind. We're going to talk about the strangers because the Bible says there are strangers, there are unbelievers, people that do not know God, although they know something of Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, and I'll wait till the pages stop turning, give you guys a chance to get there. The louder your Bible is, the more I'll know. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So the very least we can know is that God's divine, He's got power, He created all of this. So we have to know that much about God. But this is a dangerous position to be in if this is all you know. As we know, if you're an unbeliever, you're in trouble. You're in a situation where you need to be rescued. And you follow on after verse 20, what does it say? For although they knew God, okay, so they knew Him, they know something about Him, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, that's pretty foolish and futile and worthless, but people do that. They build idols in place of God. But I'm not going to spend too much time on that because I assume most people that are here are not in that place. I don't want to make that 100% assumption because God is here for anyone who believes that they're a stranger to Him. But I assume most people aren't. So we're not going to talk about that too much. We're going to move on to the acquaintances, which possibly some of us fall into this category. We all know the acquaintances. They are people that like to be around God, be part of religious things, but they don't really know God. They don't have any closeness to Him. There's no real commitment there. Sure, they might commit to being at the church potluck every Saturday on the fifth month. Sure, they commit to volunteer and do things to help out in the food drive. But they don't necessarily know God. Now, see, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, they were a lot like this. They knew the rules. They knew the laws. They knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. They knew about God. They liked to be around God. But they didn't necessarily like to be ruled by Him or have a real relationship with Him beyond that. And this is also a very dangerous place to be. Probably even more dangerous than being in the stranger spot. Because in this position, you know God. You have a connection with Him. Hey, we're all right. I go to church. That's good enough, right? That shows I know God. But that's a false sense of security. And people who are acquaintances not only have a false sense of security, but they are susceptible to being led astray. It says that in the last days, people are going to go around and follow all sorts of false doctrine to suit their itchy ears. That means they want to hear something that soothes them. They won't put up with sound doctrine. That's because they're not close to God. They're just acquainted with Him, and they're easily led astray. And some of these people may not even be saved. If we go to Matthew chapter 7, which is prior to Romans, so if you're going in the other direction, that's the wrong way. That's why I have Bible tabs on my chapters, because it makes it a lot easier. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 to 23, a very famous portion of Scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's a pause right there. If these people are calling Lord, Lord, why aren't they going to heaven? That doesn't make a lot of sense, but we'll continue on. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now look at verse 22. Look what these people are doing. They're prophesying, driving out demons, performing many miracles. Now that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. How is a person driving out demons, performing miracles, and not knowing God? It didn't make a lot of sense. The best conclusion I can come to is that this was religious behavior. This was something that they were doing to show that they were close to God without it actually occurring here. Sure, they had it up here, and they had it with their hands and what they were doing, but in their hearts, they were still far from God. There was no connection. They were going through the motions. Although they were good motions, they were still going through those motions thinking, this is what I need to do to be a good person or a good Christian or a religious person. But Jesus says, I never knew you. Yeah, you were out doing all these things, but I didn't know you. You didn't know me. So see you later. It's not enough to be religious. But the acquaintances like that, they don't want to get too close to God. God is fire. God is light. He exposes things. He heats things up. And it can be uncomfortable to be close to Him. And we don't always want to be there. And I understand that. I understand that people don't want to necessarily get too close to God. Sometimes it's for things that they've done wrong. Sometimes it's just, that's not me. That's not what I want to do. But that's not what God wants for you. And it's a dangerous place to be in. From acquaintances, we go to friends. That's where I assume most of us are, at least. Friends. A friend is a person who is close to God. Very nice friendship. I hope that's friendship. See, you didn't think I saw that. I'm very quick. Nothing escapes me. I have two children. I'm trained at this point. Nothing gets by me. Friends of God are people who are close to Him. They have a saving knowledge of Christ. They want to follow his ways. They love to spread the gospel. You know, they, or not necessarily love, but they at least will share if they have the opportunity. If someone presents, hey, you know, what do you believe? Or I'm having this hardship in my life. They'll pray. They'll make a connection. We're going to jump back while I'm talking. Jump to Exodus 33. Now, we're going to look at what a friend is to God. Like I said, a friend has a real connection with the Lord. A friend has a connection through Jesus. And they really do want to connect with him and serve him and follow his ways in the best way possible. Now, God mentions a friend in Exodus 33. We're going to start at verse 7, and then we're going to kind of jump. So stick with me. In verse 7, it says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Okay, so he sets up this tent. Now jump down to verse 9. When Moses went into the tent, there was a pillar of cloud that would come down and stay at the entrance that was showing God's presence, while the Lord spoke with Moses. So he talked to him. Okay, in verse 9 we see that God was speaking with Moses. Then jump to verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, and here's the important part, as one speaks to a friend. So, this was not a giant booming voice from the sky, Moses, like you see in the Ten Commandments movie, for those of you who've seen that, with Chuck Heston, which is an awesome movie, but God speaks to us according to his word, and I take him at his word. He'll speak to us as a friend, face to face. And that's how he spoke to Moses. Now, please, don't let this point be lost on you. This is amazing. This is the God of the universe speaking to an insignificant speck as if they're friends. It'd be like you talking to, I don't know, an amoeba. I don't even go to ant because it's smaller than that. We're going really, really small. We're going microscopic. And saying, hey, friend. So this is amazing. And he speaks to us face to face. And that's what he does with his friends. And I believe a lot of you, if you are speaking to God in prayer, if you are seeking him out in his word, seeking him out in worship, you're connecting with God. You are his friend. Don't lose sight of that. That is important. That is personal. That goes beyond the surface knowledge that a lot of people have with God. And it's extremely valuable. But the main point of this message is the last level of relationship, the ultimate level of relationship, the spouse relationship. That is the connection that God wants with all of us. He wants to have a level of intimacy and knowledge of us and us of him that is unmatched by anything else. Spouses know the private secrets. They know your thoughts. They know your hopes, your dreams, your shortcomings, your problems. They get to know each other so well that you know their behaviors and you can anticipate them. I'll give you an example. These are kind of stupid, but they're pretty neat. We were having pizza the other night. I wanted another piece of pizza. I was looking at the box. It was closer to my wife. I said, honey, can you get me another piece of pizza? Now, I had my eye on a particular piece. Now, I didn't say I want that piece. I was just thinking, I want that piece. She picked up that piece. She must have known that I wanted that particular piece of pizza. Now, we don't have mental telepathy. But she knows what I like. She knows what I enjoy in life. Another example, there have been plenty of times this has happened. It kind of freaks me out a bit. I'll be walking along, and I'll be thinking about something, and I'm thinking I want to say something to her. And she'll say, what did you say? And I didn't say anything. And she'll say, what did you say? But I was thinking it. Now, again, there's no mental telepathy, but she could read by my mannerisms, by the way I was approaching her or acting, that there was something on my mind that I wanted to say. No one has that kind of connection with me. No, Bob, not even you. He likes to think that sometimes, but no. And not even my parents. My parents, my brothers and sister don't have that connection. We're close. We know things about one another, but it's not the same. When you're with someone day in and day out, the connection is far deeper and far more complex and intricate. A spouse also appreciates characteristics of you that no one else might. Why? Because they have that connection. And some things that might rub people the wrong way, they appreciate you. Like if you're a really, really honest person, that might get on some people's nerves if you're really super honest. Your spouse, though, probably loves that because then they don't have to worry about things unless they're commenting on your clothes or your build or if you put on weight or something like that. I don't think they'd like that. So that's the type of knowing God that we want to shoot for. I like in the Amplified Bible or King James, there's a famous verse, Genesis 4:1, that says, Adam knew Eve as his wife. Now, the word knew in this context, that verse is then followed by, and then she bore a son. So we know what knew meant in that context. It didn't mean, hey, that's my wife, how are you doing? It meant the kind of knowing that produces children. And since there are children in the room, I won't get too complex or graphic with them. You guys know what I'm talking about. The word knew is used here to describe the physical union of husband and wife. They knew one another in a special way of intimacy and oneness. They're joined as one. And that's the way God set it up from the beginning. And this spouse relationship is an image of the intimate relationship we can have with Christ. And in fact, he's often called what? The bridegroom. And the church is known as the bride. Why would he give us that example if he didn't mean something by it? That God doesn't just do things just to do them. There is purpose, if you look hard enough, and pretty much everything, every word of the Bible, everything that he's done, there's some sort of purpose behind it. Now, in Exodus, we're going to go, hopefully you're still there. Exodus chapter 33. I believe that's where I was. Yes. Now, Moses is talking to him face to face as a friend. Then in verse 12, Moses continues a discourse with the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Now, again, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. In verse 13, it's saying, teach me your ways so I may know you. I'm pretty sure that Moses already knew him. If they're talking like friends, don't they know one another? I would think so. But my conclusion when I read that, I thought, well, clearly Moses wants a level of knowing that goes beyond these face-to-face talks, that goes beyond this acute awareness of God. He wanted intimacy. He wanted to be really, really close to the Lord. Now jump ahead to verse 18, and you'll see what he's talking about. They talk a bit, and Moses says, now show me your glory, which is a pretty big request. Because as we read on, it says, the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, which is a pretty big deal. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Wow, that's heavy duty. That's a big deal. So Moses wants to see his glory, and God says, okay, you want to be close to me? We'll be close, but be aware, you can't even see my face. Or that's it, because you can't see me and live. But God says, in verse 21. There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. See, Moses knew God as a friend, but he wanted something more meaningful. He wanted to know God in his fullness, not just talking. He wanted a deep connection with his glory, with his goodness, with his spirit. And see, the rock here, as we know, the rock that Moses hid in was a foreshadowing of Christ. Christ is the rock that we hide in, that gives us access to God, that makes us acceptable to him and gives us a connection with him. And when we're hidden in the rock, when we are in Christ, we have or can have an intimate relationship with God where we can see the fullness of his glory, where we can see his power in our lives, where we can speak with him on a daily basis about anything. And he will show more of himself to us than we ever knew. And in turn, we will show him more of ourselves. We will open our hearts and stop hiding things from God. Not that we can. As Adam learned in the garden, we discussed this in youth. Adam hid from the Lord. That wasn't very effective. God knew where he was. God knows what's in your heart. But when you have an intimate relationship with him, you're willing to reveal those things and tell him what your shortcomings are, what your problems are. Now, how do we do this? How do you just get closer to God? Well, that's why I did the devotion. How do you get closer to someone you know or like? You speak with them. You have communication. You spend time together. Maybe you even do a little research. Talk to the friends, guys, girls. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, what's he like? What's he into? Hey, what are her interests? I want to get close to that girl. With God, it's the same way. That's why I did those 30 days. Because I wanted to know God better. And I'll be honest with you, it worked. There were some things I'd never thought about. And there are some things I'm still thinking about. I thought 30 days might be enough. But that's what he told me to do, so that's what I did. But there's so much more. So that's how you can do it. It's really not that difficult. You can do it through worship. You can do it through the Word. But the thing I would emphasize the most is talking. Just talking and listening. You talk, then you stop. And you listen in your mind for what God would say to you. Because unfortunately, a lot of our times with God are monologues. God, I need this, 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 and this, and please pray for my Aunt Sarah, and please help me do well on my test, and I need a job, and okay, I'll see you tomorrow. That's not a conversation. But that's what we need to do. The other question is why? Why? Why would we want to be closer to God? We know how, we know what it is. Why? What is the point? Well, there are a number of reasons that I come up with. I would just pick three. The first is evangelism. It is difficult to share with others about a God that you don't know. Bob and I did this exercise with the youth on Wednesday, asked them, who is God? There were a lot of blank stares and not a lot of answers. And it was somewhat disappointing, but I understand that it's a difficult question because you don't often just get asked, who is God? But trust me, if you're intimate with him and you know him, you have an answer that's quick. If somebody said, ask me who my wife is, well, I could tell you her name and things like that, but I could tell you so much more about her. That would make you appreciate her that much more and want to know her too. The more we know, the more meaningful and personal the sharing will be, the more we can tailor it to the person we want to talk to. And it won't just be some answer we learned in a class, but it'll say, you know what? God did this for me in my life. I had this problem. I was talking to him the other day. And he showed me what I was doing wrong. That's personal. And you know what? That'll impact someone. That'll mean something to them. God saved me from my sins, which is nice and true. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to be as effective as you saying to someone, yeah, I was going through a rough patch. I just broke up with my girlfriend, but God was there for me. He showed me that he loved me and cared for me, and I didn't have to be depressed anymore. That's going to impact someone, and it could draw them to the Lord. Another thing is service to God. When you know God, you know what he wants. You can anticipate what he wants you to do, and then you can do it. Simple thing. If you don't know what he wants, you don't know what to do. You might spend a lot of time doing things in service to God that he really didn't want you to do in the first place. That's a lot of wasted effort. The final thing is peace. Peace in your life. Our lives are full of a lot of unknown. The future, for as much as we like to know, think we know what's coming up, is unknown. No one is even promised the next day of their life or their next breath. Catastrophe, death can strike you like that. And that can be very unsettling. The unknown of the future can cause problems in your heart and difficulty. But when you know God and you know what he's promised you, and you know the characteristics about him, it lends a certainty to your life. If you don't know anything else about your life, you know that God is real. He cares about you. He's looking out for you. And he has an eternal reward and relationship with him waiting for you. If that's all you have to hold on to, that's enough. And for some of us, when life is very, very hard, and you all know what I'm talking about, that might be all you have to hold on to. But if you don't know him in that way, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. So there are great benefits to being that close to God. So I ask you,